Welcome, dear listeners. I'm Jonathan Carlin.
And I'm Benjamin Carlin.
And we invite you to join us through the Gryffindor, your one-way ticket to the enchanting world of Harry Potter. But today with a bit of a twist, because instead of diving into a chapter today for the holidays, we are actually going to be gifting you guys two of our old episodes of The Owlry, the after show that we typically upload just for the patrons. But we thought, you know what? As a gift to everyone, we're going to upload a couple of our favorite episodes so that you can get an idea for what it's like.
Yes, yes. And you guys, one of the really funny things to us, at least, is that our snowy owl here, who delivers all of our owlry mail, goes by the name of Gumpine.
Gumpine.
Or occasionally Gumpster Fire, you know.
Gumps.
Gumps, yeah. Yeah. He's got all sorts of names. But each week, he delivers us a letter of mail from one of the listeners who asks us some amazing questions. And Jay and I do our best to deep dive into those questions and answer them for you. So if you would be interested in listening to today's episode, we would super appreciate it. You can get a feel for what the Owlry is like.
Yes, it is super fun. And with any questions submitted on the Owlry, just like they stay in the log. We've got like a huge Excel document with all the questions people have asked over the years.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So we have a myriad of questions still to answer as we press forward. But we wanted to give you guys a sample of what it looks like. So here you go. Enjoy.
I will also just throw in real quick that we did still record an Owlry this week for the patrons as well.
Yes, indeed.
So if you listen to these and you think, oh my goodness, I want to get some more, the one we just recorded for this week, it ended up being really, really cool. We started talking about Nagini and ultimately like worked our way towards like, oh my gosh, is like Nagini somehow like part of Ravenclaw House? And I know that sounds crazy, but like it really started to mesh together. So if you're interested, also check that one out.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely, yeah. Guys. But otherwise, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, all of those things. Enjoy the Owlry.
Welcome to the Owlry, where we answer real letters sent by real listeners delivered by a real owl. And here it comes now. Hello, Gumpine.
Oh, Gumps.
What have you got for us today?
Well, maybe Gumpine is not a name you nicknameify. Gumps. Gumps.
Or just Gump. Like,
just Gump.
Like, oh, Forrest.
Like Forrest. Yeah.
Let's see. Today's letter is from Keith the Yin Yang Werewolf.
Well, howdy!
Keith says, what would happen if Harry was raised by the Weasleys? I say this because he basically goes with them every book after Philosopher's Stone. I feel that Molly and Arthur would make sure not to inflate Harry's ego. Everyone's a good role model. Dumbledore could have placed them under the Fidelius charm. He also could have paid to look after Harry if money was the issue.
Well, okay. So it's a good question. It's a good question. And it's a great point. I mean, it's kind of like the Hermione thing you always go on about, where it's like she basically sees her parents like as you know, when I was a kid, I wanted Hermione to spend time with Harry and Ron, because it's like, we can't, you know, you got to have the
more
trio
fun,
together.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as they don't talk to each other for half of every year.
I know. We're coming up on Goblet here, and it's going to be like, yeah, Ron just doesn't talk to Harry for half the year.
Yeah. Moody Ron. I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah. No, Moody Ron. And then after that, it's going to be Moody Harry.
For a long time.
For a long time.
We're going to live inside of Order of the Phoenix for like one full calendar year.
It's going to be a while.
Yeah. It's going to be a minute. But the point I was trying to make, though, is that Hermione like does spend all this time away from her family and is always with the trio. And then, of course, Harry each year does seem to always find some reason to make his way over to the Weasleys. So like and I think that we know as time goes on that Molly effectively sees Harry, for all intents and purposes, as a son.
I mean, yeah, certainly by Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah. But I even think in Sorcerer's Stone, like the fact that, you know, there was enough of an impact, or if Ron wrote to Molly, like the fact that she's like already sending him in gifts and like sort of taking him under her wing and like looking out for his well-being and all the rest. But you're right. I think in Order of the Phoenix, there's definitely the debate between like the motherly Molly perspective being like, he doesn't need to know all of this dangerous information, versus like Sirius and Lupin, who may be more inclined to see like the James-ish version of Harry, who are like, he deserves to know.
Right.
You know, he's up against these things. She's clearly taking that on. And then also, of course, there's like the Boggart scene with Molly where she basically sees Harry as one of the fallen, you know, which is just so sad.
So, I think the Weasleys, if Dumbledore had asked them to take in Harry, they probably would have said yes.
I wouldn't doubt that for a second. I think that they would
would have. I think Dumbledore even says there were many families that volunteered,
right,
or whatever. And it's like, I mean, we don't know how many there were, but almost certainly they would have done that. But the reason Dumbledore does not want that, or the reason he wants him to go with the Dursleys, is because he's able to place the like bond of blood charm on him,
right?
While he's there,
yeah. So as long as he lives under the like a blood relative's roof, he is like the utmost protected.
Yes, like Voldemort cannot get to him. Specifically, Voldemort, though, like not other dark wizards, they still could have, I suppose.
Yeah. So anybody else? So if Voldemort was just willing to like recruit a colleague, you know, in the underground of dark lords.
Exactly. Of course, and like, you know, he's basically in hiding most of the time Harry's there anyway. So it doesn't super matter, but that's like the main reason, is that it's like the most foolproof protection. And like this letter brings up the idea that, Dumbledore could have put the Fidelius charm on the Weasley's house. And like that's true. He could have, but that comes with it like a host of other problems as well, because then like Mr. Weasley, like, I don't know if he can like really like go to work and stuff.
Yeah. Can you exit in? I mean, like the reason that James probably wouldn't have exited from the Fidelius charmed Potter's household is just simply because, like, I guess you can't really tail him home.
I get, well, okay, yeah. I guess you can leave. You can leave, right? Yeah. Because it's not that you can't leave. But, like, no one can come visit them, I suppose.
That's true. At all. You would be isolated from the outside world. It would be a massive commitment. And right. I mean, that being said as well, if you're looking at this inside of the scope of everything, you know, like, who to trust is also a very big question. I mean, I guess Dumbledore himself, but it was the Fidelius charm that failed protecting the Potter. So it may not come across in that exact moment as like, you know, we should try again the Fidelius charm.
Well, the other thing
works so well for us.
I know, right? But plus the Weasleys have like, you know, before Harry gets to school even, like Bill, Charlie, Percy, Fred, and George will all have gone to school as well.
Right.
And like none of them, they would all be secret keepers themselves, I guess, right? Because they'd be inside. Maybe not. They wouldn't necessarily be secret keepers. But, like, they couldn't have, like, friends over ever.
That's true. Yeah. So, but I mean, if we were to back up a few steps and just try to, like, attempt to answer the question. So, like, let's just say what happens here is it is the night of October 31st, 1981, and the Potters have been killed, and Dumbledore basically goes and talks to McGonagall, who's been sitting outside of the Dursley's house all day. And McGonagall is like, these are the worst sort of muggles I have ever seen in my entire life. We cannot send this boy to live here. He is going to be a hero. No, like, I'm putting my foot down, Albus.
Right.
You know, we're not doing it. And Dumbledore is like,
if you leave him on that doorstep, I'm taking him.
I'm taking him. He will be mine. Which, honestly, I don't hate that either.
McGonagall raises Harry.
Yeah. McGonagall is someone who I have so much respect for, as intimidating as she is, that I'm just like, I would be like, I would never mess with her. She's like way too intense. Not intense, powerful.
Right.
But let's just say that's the situation. Dumbledore takes it under advisement and he's like, okay, we need to find a family. It looks like the Weasleys have extended an offer. Fabian and Gideon, Molly's brothers, were members of the Order. I know them. They would have been members of the Order had they didn't have like their own family. He'll grow up around lots of other wizards. It's a great, humble household that will be good for him. Very loving. What do we think happens there? Because I do think there are a couple of interesting caveats. Like, by the time Harry arrives at the Weasleys in Chamber of Secrets, or even when they have the the exchange, you know, at the platform to get onto the Hogwarts Express, you're witnessing a Molly that is able to very easily take Harry sort of like under her wing. She's able to acknowledge like all the hardship that he's been through. She's able to sort of stand in contrast to everything that the Dursleys have done.
Yeah.
However, if you raise him since he's effectively 1 year old, like in a lot of ways, I have to imagine that you've now gone through all the various trials and tribulations of this is now just the son. It's one of my responsibilities. This is somebody who lives under my house. I love them as much as they frustrate me. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's probably like a more 360 view of the relationship between Molly and Harry, especially when you take a look at how Ron feels positioned inside of the Weasley family.
I know, itself. Like, is it then it does Ron feel even more overshadowed? Because instead of being like his like best friend that he meets at school, he's just sort of like this brother effectively that he grows up with.
Who holds great importance
and is otherwise his same exact age.
Ooh,
I know.
I could see that being tough.
It could be tough for Ron, who already deals with this, and this could make it even harder.
Yeah.
Would they go to school and be like the best of friends still, or would it be a little more like Ron was just like standoffish or something?
You could see a world where almost like the look that Ron has. I'm picturing Ron in the movies that the look he has on his face in Goblet of Fire when Harry's name comes out and he's kind of got that like really dark, sullen, like head turn moment. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I could almost see a little bit of that going on because you're right. I mean, you would have Bill, who was head boy.
Right.
Charlie, who is Quidditch captain.
Right.
Percy, who is a prefect.
Prefect.
And then Fred and George sort of, you know, Fred and George, I think, do a nice job of holding their identities well within themselves.
Yeah, I mean, they're like hilarious, and they by the time they get to school anyway, they'd be like beaters on the Quidditch team.
Yeah,
yeah.
They cast their own shadow, even if it's a shadow that doesn't necessarily come from the same direction as the rest of them.
Yes.
But I think that totally is the case. But then, yeah, you'd have somebody who's of your year who is, like we said, has extreme importance. And so I could see a world where Ron is like, well, what am I supposed to do now? Like, my adoptive brother is now one of the most, you know, integral people in all of wizarding history.
Oh, I know. It's like, it's one thing to be like overshadowed by your own family members. It's like another to be overshadowed by this other kid my family decided to bring in at my exact age.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see a world. I almost could see a world where they get sorted differently.
Oh, you think so? I mean, certainly, Ron is a little bit more, like, they don't seem to know about the sorting hat itself, but Ron knows a lot about, like, he knows everyone's in Gryffindor, and
Do you think there could be, like, a Sirius spurning his roots? Like, it's almost like a what if Ron was in Hufflepuff, or Ron was in Slytherin?
You think Ron would want to be different from the family?
That's sort of where I'm leaning.
I can see this being Ron in Hufflepuff, yeah.
Yeah, like I think, like almost as if, like, because that would give Ron a way to then stand out.
Oh, especially because he'd be sorted after Harry, so he'd watch Harry get sorted into Gryffindor, and he'd be like, oh my, how dare you, you know?
Yes, right? Yeah.
Oh, I could see that.
I think that's not like a completely unreasonable.
That's not unreasonable. I think because Ron, because if it takes into consideration your choice, then I think Ron could literally choose. He could be up there and be like, not Gryffindor.
Not Gryffindor, yeah.
Oh, I can absolutely see that. So the other thing then, though, is that, okay, if it's, November 1st, the day after the attack on the Potters, they go to the Weasleys. Like, Molly's probably pregnant with Ginny at this point.
We'd have to math it, but
it sounds
right.
So she's 1 year behind them in school.
Right. Right. Yes. I don't know if I'm sure that the information exists when Ginny's birthday is, but I don't have that off the top of my hat, but I'm just trying to think, like, yeah, if you're thinking in that like November range.
Well, so Harry turns one at the end of July. So it's,
he is 15 months old.
Right.
So he is over a year old.
Right.
At that point in time. So maybe Ginny would have already been born.
Yeah, like very.
Very recently.
Very recently, or else Molly almost has to be pregnant. Or is like on, because it'd be like 3 months, because
One or the other. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there'd be like a very narrow range where like if she's not pregnant yet and she takes on Harry, do they just not have Ginny?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
That would be a whole, what if they didn't have Ginny?
Right,
that'd be
right.
Weird. But here's the other thing. Almost, if Harry is raised by the Weasleys, almost no shot of him marrying Ginny now.
Oh, right? Yeah. Because
that's his sister.
That's a very good point. Right? That's a very good point. And I mean, so yeah, on that note too, if Hermione were to end up in Gryffindor and Ron ended up in Hufflepuff, I feel like even that
Harry marries Hermione, no doubt.
You'd have more of a Hermione situation going
Absolutely
on.
You do.
That's a really good point. Though. Yeah, because I mean, otherwise, I mean, you know, for all intents and purposes, they would have grown up as siblings.
As siblings,
you know,
yeah.
You would have been way too close to everything.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
To kind of have that wall not be there. Okay. So that is very interesting. And then, you know, what is Harry's personality like? Because I think that's something else that they mentioned in their letter was like, you know, you are going into a household that features a multitude of different personalities. You know, like you've got Percy, who's kind of got that like pretentious, a little bit like over the top in terms of like his relationship with like order and like, you know, government and that type of thing. But then on the flip side, of course, you've got Fred and George, who sort of like almost compensate in the complete opposite direction. And their whole thing is, you know, much more of what's fueling. I mean, to use Filch and Peeves, I would say that Percy is fueling Filch, whereas Fred and George are obviously fueling Peeves.
Peeves, yeah.
You know, if you want to use the poltergeist example and how they sort of manifest there. But yeah, so who do you think Harry ends up being more like? Or even just to throw out another example, we've often said that like if Harry's raised by Sirius, then you end up with a Harry Potter who is much more similar to like the arrogance potentially
of James. Yeah.
But like kind of buffered by Lily's, you know, kindness.
Yeah.
That would have to persevere. So
yeah, so like that certainly still has to persevere. But this would be a lot different than being raised by Sirius, because Sirius would also be like very rich, and this would make the Weasleys even poorer.
That is true. I mean, Harry would come with, you know, his own...
He would be able to pay for himself.
He would be able to pay for himself, which also could make Ron quite jealous.
That's true.
Because then, you know, when you go shopping, like, probably in this, like, in the original set of circumstances, like, you know, Harry has money, but he also has, like, all the other stuff that goes with it, you know, and he had to live with the Dursleys for so long and hasn't had anything nice his whole life. So it's like Ron, at times, even if he's mildly jealous, I think can still maintain a degree of happiness for Harry in those moments. But if he's grown up with someone who is, for, you know, again, all intents and purposes, his brother, then that first day at Diagon Alley where Harry can go and buy new school robes,
right,
and stuff like that, and Ron has to buy like hand-me-downs, like I could see that chafing.
I can absolutely see that chafing a lot. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because certainly the Weasleys wouldn't just like inherit the Potter's wealth or anything.
Whose personality from the Weasleys do you think Harry would be most similar to?
I think... Well... Charlie?
I was thinking Charlie.
Charlie, yeah.
I was thinking, I mean, he's Quidditch captain.
He's Quidditch captain.
Works with dragons.
Likes, like, them, like, is very good with, like, Hagrid and stuff as well. He'd probably be a little bit closer in age to them than Percy, because I think Charlie is there the year before. Like, he is just exiting as Ron is entering.
Yeah, they kind of miss each other going in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, which is weird, because we know that Charlie was the Quidditch captain, but then like in, if that's the case though, like when Fred and George are talking to Harry in Harry's first year, he's like, we've got Oliver's speech memorized or whatever, which makes it sound like Oliver was the captain last year, but last year Charlie would have been there. So was there like a chance that Charlie was the captain but then lost the captaincy to Oliver, who was a younger student?
I can't, there's no way.
Doesn't make sense to me, unless it's like a 2 year, unless there's like a 1 year gap in there.
I think there's a 2 year. Like it must have been the case that Charlie graduates, Oliver steps in as a very young captain.
Right.
And you know, then you just sort of like watch everything else unfold from there. But yeah, so then if you think about it from that perspective, let's see, then that would mean that a full 7 years difference. So you'd be dealing with like 11 minus seven, maybe eight, to get the proper age. So like his age proximity to Charlie would be still far enough away, I think, as they kind of like grew up, that like he maybe, like he only would have been, like Harry and Ron would only be like 10 when Charlie's graduating.
Yeah.
You know, so they, I mean, that's, it's not forever far away, but it's maybe hard to imagine them being like old chums.
Right.
In the way that like maybe Bill and Charlie could have been.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that. Okay. But yeah, Charlie is the one who kind of sticks out to me. Like I think Fred and George seem like they're almost like bookends.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't really feel like there's necessarily like the most obvious like room for that to be a trio instead of a duo.
Right. And then it's definitely not Percy, just because Harry's just not like Percy. And it's like, maybe Bill? I don't know. Like, it just seems like maybe the age gap's too big for Bill.
Maybe. Do you think you'd have, like, a Harry with, like a Scooch more, like swagger?
Possibly.
Like, not the same way that, like, James has it. Like, I would think of it as, like, a different, maybe more, like, I mean, Charlie even comes across as maybe, like, mildly, like, eclectic. Is it Charlie or is it Bill who has... Bill has, like, the earring and
Bill
the long
has
hair.
The earring and the long hair and stuff.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So that was... Maybe I was blurring those two brothers in my head a little bit.
Yeah.
But I still think that what you would end up with is a Harry who's far more informed about the wizarding world, who's grown up with a much happier childhood surrounded by magic. He's much more acquainted with everything that's going on, which I think, you know, probably would yield... Like, I think... You know, even in year one, they don't really say that like the kids who grew up in wizarding households are like eons ahead of those who didn't or anything. But he's less of a fish out of water.
It goes into Hogwarts feel like a lot more like well informed and stuff, which is then another reason he might be less friends with like Ron and stuff, because like Ron is this like bout of information about the wizarding world, but Harry would just have all that too.
He would.
Yeah.
Although I don't hate a world where like maybe they grow up and Ron kind of holds this small rivalry towards him, but then they almost discover friendship more like when they're able to like interact with each other more from afar.
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably have a situation where Ron and Harry are competing on the Quidditch pitch.
Probably. Although if Ron's playing keeper and like... For what, Hufflepuff?
Yeah.
For Hufflepuff. Who, God, I was writing a video just now upstairs about Oliver Wood.
Oh, and, nice. Yeah. I love it.
And I was like, Oliver, I don't think Oliver is a good keeper, like, at the end of the day. He cares more about Quidditch than anyone, but I'm not sure he's actually like great at it.
I think that there's a lot to be said. I feel like we've dissected Oliver from many angles in the through the Gryffindor so far, and it's like he's playing on a practice squad after Quidditch effectively being his whole life all through his collegiate or his academic.
Yeah, his academic career. This is like his intended profession.
Yeah, he was captain of the team for arguably as long as anybody would be capable of doing it. You know, I mean, because what third year is becoming? I think the math is that he would be like a fourth year.
Yeah.
By the time he's captain, at least.
Yes.
Which means that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. I mean, that's four full years leading the team. He only wins as
once.
Of his final.
Yeah.
And realistically, like, you know, Harry is seemingly holding down a lot of the,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It's wild. This is like a random thing. I was piecing it together as I was putting it under my Oliver thing. But like when Gryffindor faces Slytherin, when Slytherin gets all the Nimbus 2000s, like they're quickly up 60-0, like, which means the Chasers are scoring. But then the following year, Harry's third year, when all the Slytherins still have the Nimbus 2001s, they narrowly beat Ravenclaw. That's what we just read, I think, in this week's chapter.
Yeah, we sure did.
Which means that despite all the Slytherins having the Nimbus 2001s, the Ravenclaws are putting up mad points on the Slytherin team.
Has to.
With their Chasers. And that the Ravenclaw keeper is keeping it tight. Like, he's not letting anything by. The Ravenclaw keeper is forcing Draco to catch the snitch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's so interesting.
I know.
But I even love that discovery that it's like Draco is kind of the hero of that match.
Of that
like,
match, for sure.
You don't get to, like, really get a glimpse at, like, anybody else playing Quidditch, which is a shame. But, it's like... Not for nothing, but like, I mean, he's got some reason to have his, you know, some street cred.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, which is fun. Does this play into Hufflepuff at all? Do we know anything about how it seems? I hold no Hufflepuff prejudice in my heart whatsoever. I'm just trying to remember if there's anything that would suggest that out of those groupings that Hufflepuff was always like consistently like bottom of the table.
Right.
Is there a good possibility he would make that team?
Possibly. I think mostly we know Cedric Diggory is on it, and I think Zachariah Smith is on it, right?
Oh, yeah, maybe so. Maybe he makes a comment like, yeah, how's this going to affect Quidditch practice?
Right, yeah, something like that. But, I mean, it's possible that Ron does make that team, and then that makes it that much harder for... Because, like, here's the thing, not to keep ragging on Oliver, but, like, Ron is so good at keeper that he eclipses the rest of the players when he's playing. Like, people are chanting his name.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to Oliver Wood? I don't think so.
Yeah. At least it's never come up if it has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Oliver.
Yeah, has it come up?
Yeah. Okay, so then an interesting question, though. So let's keep going with our Ron scenario. Ron's in Hufflepuff. Eventually, you get to fourth tier. Cedric gets pulled out of the Goblet of Fire. Where does Ron land on his adopted brother being a contender against somebody in his own house?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's on Team Cedric.
You think he is?
He's on Team Cedric.
I think that there's a very obvious reason at that point. Because, I mean, realistically, Harry might even be his least favorite because we know Ron is highly susceptible to the Vila magic. And he's all about Fleur.
Yep. And we know he loves Crumb.
Yep.
And
yep.
He won't have the crush on Hermione this time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Cedric's in his house. Yeah. So it's like.
Yeah, Harry's like anyone but Harry.
Yes. It's like, oh my God. I can't imagine out of four contestants, Harry being Ron's least favorite.
It seems unlikely, but that might be what happens if the Weasleys adopted Harry from the beginning.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. Okay, so that's interesting. That's something to park in the back of our brains. I feel like this could be like the plot for our like what if Ron was in Hufflepuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because people ask for Hermione and Ravenclaw, Ron and Hufflepuff all the time, and it's like you need a spring off point.
You need a spring off. So it's not really what if Ron was in Hufflepuff. It's really what if the Weasleys adopted Harry.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But I think you could park it, you know, the title as Ron and Hufflepuff, and it's like, here's how we got there.
Exactly. You could call it that, what if Ron was in Hufflepuff, and that's not there. Because, like, even our, like, what if Harry was in Slytherin, the real what if is, what if he didn't go to Madame Malkin's?
The same time Draco
Yeah, what
was
if
there?
He didn't meet Draco at Madame Malkin's?
A otherwise highly missable situation.
Yes,
you
yes.
Because
like,
otherwise Harry doesn't know... He doesn't have a preconceived notion about Slytherin on the basis of Draco or Hufflepuff for that matter. He doesn't ask Hagrid about it.
Yeah.
And maybe he has an exchange with Ron on the train still.
Yeah.
But at that, like, you know, normally he has a bad taste in his mouth from Draco. Confirmation that Slytherins lead to people in negative houses from Hagrid.
Yeah.
And then Ron, who leans towards Gryffindor.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I guess there's like a few instances there that are all kind of like guiding,
yeah.
You know, like why Harry's
it's
like...
It's like, if Harry just arrives at the Hat with no information about the houses, though...
He's just in Slytherin.
He's just in Slytherin.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This was interesting. Yeah. I didn't expect it to take that pathway.
Me neither. Me neither.
But yeah, I think the big thing... But what I would say, where I would end it, is I think that Ron and Harry find each other in the end.
I think, yeah,
you know,
probably.
I think you get more of like a, like, it almost even seems like the main story has always been missing that situation where the enemy of my enemy is my friend, like where Draco should have done a team up with the trio at some point in time because they, you know, against Umbridge, against someone, you know, who is the common enemy where they need to join forces and you get to just like see them all on the same side for a minute.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you can even see like Ron super looking up to Cedric or something like before Goblet of Fire. Like if Cedric is the captain of the Hufflepuff Quidditch team and he could have been the one who like brought Ron on as like a very young player or something.
Yep.
You know, and is like, oh man, like finally someone I can look up to who's cool and believes in me and sees me.
Oh, you know? You're right. Oh,
and then when he dies, oh, so much worse.
That's really bad. Ron. Yeah, because then it's like his hero.
I know.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, not so. Oh, man, that makes Cedric's death a lot worse.
It does.
He's already pretty bad.
You mean the incredibly nice, talented, handsome boy dying for no reason?
That one.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, fantastic question. As always, thank you to all of you patrons for your support over here on Patreon. We hope that you're enjoying the show, but otherwise, until next time,
bye!
Through the Gryffindor is sponsored by Acorns. New Year's is here, and you know what that means. It's resolution time! Now, as someone who's no stranger to the gym, I know January can be interesting. You've got a wave of people kicking off their New Year, New Me goals, and the gym is buzzing with energy. But by February, things tend to settle back down. And listen, I'm far from immune to the cycle of ambitious starts and quiet fades. That's why I'm always looking for ways to make sure that my resolutions stick. Enter Acorns, a brilliant way to stay consistent with your "this is the year that I get serious about my financial future" goal. And in case you're unaware, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so that your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. Here's how I use it. The day that my daughter Addison was born, I opened an account for her. Since then, every single roundup from my purchases has gone straight to her future. And what's great is just how effortless it is. I don't have to think about it. It just works in the background. Whether it ends up being for a car, college, a wedding, or something else entirely, I feel good knowing I've been preparing to give her a head start this whole time. Let's make this year the one where we stick to our resolutions for real this time. Head to acorns.com/griffin or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/griffin.
Welcome everyone to the Owl Read, the real show where we answer real questions delivered by a real owl. And here he is now. Oh, hello, Gumpine. She's a little premature on the opening of the letter.
I know, seriously. This is, goodness. I mean, like, proper mail etiquette is not opening the mail until it's been delivered to its recipient.
Are you reading the mail, Gumpine?
Gumpine.
You wouldn't.
How dare thee.
Today's letter is from Jules.
Jules!
Jules says, I've been watching your channel for around 6 years, and I absolutely love your What If series. My question is, what if Dudley was a wizard? He would have gotten his Hogwarts letter earlier than Harry, and then Harry did. Would the Dursleys accept him as a wizard? What house would he be in? What key moments play out differently with him attending Hogwarts? Whew, Jules, it's a big question.
It's a big question. So, like, I mean, but it is a great question.
It does.
It challenges everything the Dursleys are.
It really does. First of all, I don't think he'd get his letter earlier than Harry. They'd get them at the same time.
Are Dudley there like a few months apart?
They are. Yeah, they're a few months apart, but Dudley's older.
Dudley is older. Yes. Okay.
But like the letters all come at the same time.
Well, the question would be whether or not Dudley is a full like school year.
Oh, I don't think so, because they're in the same grade at like public school and stuff.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Harry couldn't make any friends because Dudley would always like scare them off.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So safe to assume they would get their letters at the same time.
At the same time.
Okay, so how does this change things? Because this is, I mean, it reminds me a lot of the constant battle the Dursleys find themselves between, where it's like Harry going to the Quidditch World Cup, for example. It's like, it would make Harry happy, which they don't want to do, but it would also mean that Harry is gone, which they like.
Yes.
So it's like, what a conundrum to find oneself in if you're a terrible human being like the Dursleys.
It is a really weird one, because they would have grown up knowing for sure that Harry was a wizard.
Yes.
And like acting like it was the worst thing ever. Dudley would not have known. But then, would he? Does Dudley know? No, Dudley doesn't know until...
I don't think Dudley knows until the letters start.
Until the letters start.
Oh, right.
Right, yeah. So Dudley doesn't know. So then when Dudley gets his letter, because even if Dudley was like performing like magical things, they'd probably just assume it was coming from Harry. Right?
Like, yes.
Right.
Yep, I think so. They would attribute everything Dudley ever did to Harry, probably.
Yeah, I think so. So Dudley gets his letter, though. Would they? It feels like, man, what would they do? Because, like, if you, like, on the one hand, like, we know deep down within Petunia, like, she wanted to go to Hogwarts.
She did.
Right?
She wrote her own letter to Dumbledore.
Yes.
That Lily, like, reads with Snape.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a huge violation of privacy. You know, but it's definitely like, it's like Lily's like one moment of like, whoops. Like,
yeah.
You know, cause she's otherwise a rather infallible character. Yeah, you're right. So Petunia would have that in her. I do think that for the most part, I think Vernon's hatred of all things magic is mostly coming by proxy. Like, it's always this, like, you can't really see it as, like, terribly romantic, but, like, to Vernon's credit, it's sort of like that classic, like, if your friend has someone they don't like, you sort of don't like them, like, because you're friends with this person, and so it's, like, you honorary dislike them, even though it's, like, you know,
right.
I don't actually have any beef with this person whatsoever, but that's, like, you know, being the friend or whatever.
Right.
So I could see a world where Petunia's desire... Okay, let's spin it this way. This is sort of like where my head goes to a little bit. Is almost like a like Petunia. None of the Dursleys, neither Vernon nor Petunia, have a healthy relationship with Dudley. So maybe what it ends up being is like Petunia decides to like vicariously live through Dudley's magical experience.
Sure.
Because I think even like, you know, like when Dudley's like struggling with like, you know, some like weight related things and stuff at school, like. Petunia's like trying to find ways to like ignore any like negativity that might be being attributed to towards Dudley in some capacity.
Yeah.
Whether it's like the bullying or anything else. It's sort of just like she's always got like something. So it's my inclination that her love for Dudley would outweigh her hatred towards magic, especially because her hatred towards magic is partially coming from a place of like wishing she had had
like,
it.
Yeah, like jealousy.
Precisely. Yeah.
So I think he would go to Hogwarts.
Yes.
Yes. Like, I don't think they would just be like, well, too bad. We're just keeping you in regular school.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But then there would be an interesting mismatch that would happen that would be kind of fascinating, because normally what they would do is try to demonstrate disparity between Dudley and Harry based on like the quality of like life they provide each of them.
Yes.
But in the wizarding world, Harry has his own money.
Harry has his own money and his like own fame.
Yes.
So like, even though I'm sure they would go about buying Dudley all the nicest things that they could, like Harry would still sort of be in a like at home. I feel like he'd still like be in a worse position. Like they'd want, like, would they still dislike Harry as much? You know, if the main thing they dislike about him is magic, and then they're like, this is less of a barrier now.
That's a good point. I know that would certainly, you would think it would change things, but it's hard for me to imagine a world where they do change. Like,
right.
Like, yeah. I'd be inclined to believe that for some reason they would just still go on disliking Harry.
Yeah.
But maybe now they would dislike Harry for the reason that is like Harry would go to school and like immediately become like a Quidditch sensation, and he's like his name is known by everybody, and he's
right.
Like sort of universally beloved in some capacity. Like,
right. Like they've always treated Dudley as like way more special than Harry. And now there's like this whole world that just thinks Harry's the most special.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and like in so many ways, like Harry finally escapes Dudley only to meet Draco, who was just sort of like Magic Dudley.
Magic Dudley. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, and Draco is certainly worse than Dudley, but like, it does seem... Where was I going with that?
Sorry, go ahead.
Like Draco coming into Hogwarts like sort of assumes like he will be the most special, most beloved, most popular kid. And like if he had just been in any other year, that probably would have been his position.
Yes.
But like, yeah. Oh, look out. Harry Potter's here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's sort of like his problem. And I can see Dudley having like a very similar reaction. That's what I was trying to say. Like to like disliking Harry, who he's already accustomed to disliking.
Right, right. Yeah. Yes. The real question in my mind is like Dudley sort of fits the mold a little bit of like the Crabbe and Goyle vibe.
He does. So like, do you think, I mean, to me, Dudley seems like, based on the fact that he's sort of just like Muggle Draco and sort of built in the Crabbe and Goyle way, like he seems like a Slytherin.
He seems like a Slytherin to me. I'm trying to decide if there's a reason why he wouldn't be a Slytherin, because like Ravenclaw doesn't feel like would be the fit.
No, really, I don't think it's Ravenclaw.
I don't think it's the same as Harry, so I just don't see him being a Gryffindor.
Right. Excuse me. Like some people would argue maybe that like Gryffindors are like typically like more like the jock kind of characters.
That's true.
And like Dudley. Yeah. Eventually is like a boxing champion.
True.
You know, like he's got He's got somewhere in him, but he's also pretty cowardly most of the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, also, you know, it'd be hard not to be afraid of, like, Hagrid, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know. Like, under those circumstances. Yeah, under those circumstances. Yes. To be fair, though, Harry's not.
You're right. That's true. So.
But okay, yeah. So I don't think Gryffindor. I think there was an argument. You make a good point about the boxing thing, and that sort of being like that like jocular attitude that maybe you get like with a Cormac McLaggen character,
right? Yeah, sort of in that vein.
Yeah, yeah. But and then you've got like the Hufflepuff thing, and like Dudley does like have his like you know it's like it's hard to compare like the kind of friendship that I associate with Hufflepuffs with like Dudley's gang, you know, because they feel different, but I guess he does have a group of friends, but
right, but even that it seems like maybe like controlled out of fear or something.
Yeah, I don't see any way that he's not a Slytherin.
Well, okay, here's what makes Dudley a super unique Slytherin though.
Okay,
is that he is a muggle-born Slytherin.
Yeah,
which is a very rare thing.
That's a good point.
Which
yeah.
That would be pretty unique. So it's like, because you would think like, oh, maybe like would him and Draco be friends, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, because I would argue that they would both be vying for the same social position.
I mean, probably. Draco, of course, has, like, you know, history of Wizarding World and pure blood status inside of Slytherin House, which is sadly something the students in the book of that time value. Care about.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, because the real question in my mind here is whether or not, like, if... Let's just, I mean, just for a second, just humor me through the tune of, is there a scenario where what ends up happening is Dudley replaces Draco in this kind of position? Crabbe and Goyle sort of become like the goons of Dudley and more of like this like brutish possibly way. Like Draco is not, I mean, Draco for all intents and purposes is kind of built like Harry. Like he's small and skinny and, you know, he's good at being like a seeker. But he's not like a formidable physical presence.
Right. He doesn't seem like one to take orders.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah.
But so my thinking would almost be like if you were to start to like really pull on that string, is there a world where like Draco actually ends up like befriending the trio and you sort of have like
oh Draco.
Draco.
Interesting.
Yes,
that's,
like
if
Dudley sort of becomes like the antithesis to like you know, like Draco amongst Slytherin House, and he's actually got more of a following than Draco was able to garner himself. Then Draco like almost goes to like greener pasture, so to speak.
Interesting.
Like finding like a different place to go.
Because
it would also be completely, I mean, this just the two residents, the two youth residents of number 4 Privet Drive would be screwing up Draco's time at Hogwarts so much.
Yeah. They definitely would be. Because at the very least, Dudley is still going to be Harry's cousin.
Also true.
Right.
Also
so that true. That's going to get him some amount of notoriety, almost no matter what. And being like a muggle-born Slytherin will stand out as unique.
Right.
But like as far as like befriending like Crabbe and Goyle, like they're with Draco on the train. You
true.
Know, like they're yeah. like, they seem like they're friends ahead of time, and like all their dads are Death Eaters. Together.
True.
Together. I mean, I can almost see Draco taking out like a lot of his frustration on Dudley.
Okay.
You know,
okay. Yep. Like, so that, maybe then you end up having the issue of like Draco's more talented with magic.
Right.
And
almost certainly.
Yeah. And probably a bit more cunning, honestly.
Honestly, I mean, definitely more cunning
yeah.
than Dudley, you yeah. have to think. So I could see like, is Harry going to have to like look out for Dudley at all? Would
oh,
that be
man.
A thing?
What a twist.
That would be such a twist that like the person who's bullied him his whole life is like now he has to like protect from Draco or something.
Right, that'd right. Because I mean, yeah. Okay, so if you take it in that direction, then all of a sudden you've got like a scenario where like maybe Dudley, who is used to being like the king of the playground, kind of is being like the outsider in Slytherin
yeah.
House.
Because, it's like the flip, basically. Right. Like, where everything he's known for his whole life is being, like, better than Harry and, like, the most popular kid at school. And suddenly he's, like, the exact opposite, where Harry's the most popular kid at school. and he's like at the bottom of the Slytherin house.
Yes, yes, because he's this like Muggle born.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm trying to think like who else is in there? Is it Blaise? He's in there. Yeah,
Blaise Zabini.
So is that, I don't know if that would be like his friend or something.
I know that would be so interesting because Blaise is he's kind of like regarded as being like kind of like beautiful, right? Like
is he? Yeah,
I think his mother is like a very famous witch.
Yeah, I think so.
And then who else do we have? You've got Pansy Parkinson
and Millicent Bulstrode. Other known Slytherins of the year.
Right. Millicent seems like she's more of maybe in like that like, you know, she doesn't seem like she's always like rolling with like Draco's cronies.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Really, I think the main mention we get of her is just that that's who Hermione steals the
cat hair from.
Yeah, yep. So possibly Millicent and Dudley could be friends.
Possibly.
Of some capacity.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like what else this would end up doing. Like, is there a world where, because like Dudley doesn't immediately find boxing. So like as like his story unfolds, you could potentially have him become like a really good like Quidditch beater.
Yeah, he seems like a beater build, doesn't he? It's like if Crabbe and Goyle can do it.
If Crabbe and Goyle can do it, almost certainly, yeah. Dudley.
Yeah, Dudley can do it.
I mean, that's like where you got to give Dudley his stripes a little bit too, because it's like whether or not he's beating up like, you know, much younger kids on the playground, you got to put that aside. Like he does actually win some boxing bouts.
Yeah.
You know, like he's actually good at it. So, you know, there's a degree of athleticism that, you know, could emerge.
Right.
Somewhere inside of him
for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So I can see him being a beater at some point for sure. Yeah, it's interesting if Harry has to befriend him or something. It also makes you wonder about like the diary, like would the basilisk attack Dudley?
Oh.
For being Muggle-born, you know, right? That's pretty interesting.
That's a really good thought.
Yeah,
I like that. Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, because that would certainly like, you know, like rattle things a little bit, especially if you have it such that Harry and Dudley's relationship through year one and then most of two isn't that good, and then Dudley is attacked.
Yeah.
You know, then that could sort of be like the moment where like even like Dudley sort of gets a little bit of that, like, oh, this is like what Harry's up against.
Right.
You know, all the time.
Right.
Is this sort of like threat. And really I ended up having to like rely on him.
Yeah.
To solve the basilisk problem.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I mean, heck, Dudley could even be like the target of the diary if he's like Harry's known cousin.
Also, you know, true.
Right.
Wow. So Dudley right. gets
Dudley,
gets
Dudley open the Chamber of Secrets? That'd yes. be wild.
Whoa.
Oh boy. So he would be. So then, if that's the case, then he's the one who's taken into the chamber and almost like replaced like Tom Riddle's like attacking. That seems like a lot of fun.
That seems like a lot of fun. Would Riddle Diary be okay absorbing the soul of a Muggleborn? Normally Ginny is pure blood, if nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if he's like absorbing Ginny's soul. It's more like he's absorbing Ginny's like life force.
Life force, right? It's a good point. Yeah. It's a good point. Right, good like, distinction.
He's already got his own soul.
Right, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of the Horcrux.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's fun. Yeah, this is definitely... Have we not done this before?
No, I don't think so. I think we've always just sort of been of the opinion that, like, the Dursleys are simply too anti-magic. They're too strict to produce. There's not, like, a drop of magical blood anywhere to do with them.
Right.
Yeah. So that's sort of been, like, our thing. But, yeah, like, could Dudley go to Hogwarts? Would he be in... It seems like he'd be in Slytherin. I don't hate that they would target him with the diary. I don't know how his first year would go. It doesn't seem like great.
It does seem like he would have a tough first year.
It does.
Because he'd be acclimating so fast. And yeah, and the idea that like the Slytherins might reject him a little bit, you know, for the blood status is unfair to him. But it could also soften him as a character, you know, like open the door for some other type of... Like, because I mean, really what we've oftentimes come back to, like we've suggested, we like the idea of like Ginny being a Slytherin because it would bridge the houses better.
Yeah.
Like you have to have like a reason, like why somebody being over in, you know, and this is like major air quotes, but you know, the enemy camp, so to speak, like being like a reason where it's like, are they bad or misunderstood or misguided or like what's happening?
Right.
Like that is making, you know, these differences sort of defy each other. So I think that would be interesting if somehow Dudley ended up playing like a prominent role in the big picture.
Yeah.
By way of being in-house Slytherin? Like, is there like, you know, like does he end up pulling anybody? Does he join Dumbledore's army?
Oh, I know. Does he end Dumbledore's army? Feels like probably.
It feels like yeah. There's a decent chance.
It does feel like there's a decent chance of that. Boy, that's interesting. Yeah, is he in Dumbledore's army? Gosh. There's so many like lines that would change.
I know.
Because like Harry would have to be dealing with this all the time. He's almost like it feels like he would sort of be like the Neville of Slytherin house that year. Kind of
like why is it always me?
Why is it always me? Just sort of like the bumbling kid who just sort of feels like a fish out of water. Even being like I would say like it's not like, you know. Like, you'd be like the Muggle-born in Slytherin versus the pure-blood in Gryffindor or whatever. Not that it really matters for Gryffindor, because all the Weasleys are pure-bloods, too. And
True.
Yeah, that's not super relevant.
Right, right.
But you could see them being, like, foils to one another.
Yes, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that definitely makes a lot of sense. I'm trying to think of, like, you know, Goblet of Fire, if there's, like, anything interesting that happens there.
Like, he's certainly not like a champion of some kind. Maybe he could, like, I doubt there's like an argument for him being like the one in the lake or something.
Oh, like because Harry's cousin.
Yeah. Yeah. He has like a probably better relationship with at this point, you know?
You have to imagine that three years in, things have fixed themselves at least a little bit.
Especially if he saves them from the basilisk, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then what? Sirius Black. How does that change things? You know, like, how does, like, Aunt Marge, how does this affect her? Is she going to come in? Like, it feels like, would the Dursleys tell Aunt Marge that he's a wizard? Probably not. They'd probably, like, would she... She just sort of been under the impression the entire time that Harry was, like, a bad kid, but Dudley was great. But this time they'd have, like, the shared knowledge. Like, everyone else in the room would have the shared knowledge that Dudley's also a wizard.
Yes.
Except her. Right.
Right, yeah. So does he still just have, like, his like, straw hat and knickerbockers from...
The school.
Yeah, where does he go?
Oh, where is it? Smeltings?
Smeltings.
Yeah, smelting stick.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's a good question. Yeah, it's like, so, like, as far as Aunt Marge is concerned, are they still just going to the exact same, like, different schools that she always believes them to?
Right.
But like, is there a world where, like Dudley is the one who like inflates her.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah. Like, you know, she's like going off. Cause I mean, at this point in time, like Dudley would see some stuff, you know, he would know.
So like he would be able to witness Aunt Marge treating Harry this terrible way.
Yeah.
And understand that even though it's like ill placed, that she doesn't know the truth about magic or anything, that all of the propaganda towards Harry is based on this secret that she doesn't know.
Right.
And just like, I can see him being the one who does it. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be wild. That
inflates on Marge. But so then does Harry like go to the Leaky Cauldron or run into Sirius or do the night bus thing?
Do they go together?
What? Do they both leave?
They both leave.
No, they wouldn't both leave. If he did it, Harry would be like, wow, Dud. That was amazing.
That was a good job, Dud.
Good job.
Big D.
That'd be so funny.
Oh, man. I know. That's a good question. That is a good question. I know. Yeah, maybe they don't. I mean, they could still always, like, exit, but maybe not call the night bus.
Right.
You know? Like, so then, like, maybe, like, they run into Sirius scares Dudley.
Right.
You know, something like that.
Uh-huh.
This is where it's like we need like our whiteboard to start like drawing circles and being like, okay, like this needs to happen.
It's so weird if Dudley's a wizard because it makes it just seem like it's so much more bearable at home.
It does seem like it's more bearable at home, but I do feel like there'd be situations where the Dursleys could still find ways to like spin things to put them on Harry. So like after the end of year one, like Harry wins the house cup and like, I could see the Dursleys being like, well, he clearly fixed it with the headmaster, you know,
right.
to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they'd be like, but clearly like, you know, like then all of a sudden they'd be like, how Slytherin, like, you know.
Oh, I'm sure they'd be all about the Slytherin stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, like they could still because Harry would have defeated their son in their first year at school in the thing that they would value the most, which would be like a trophy or an award.
Right. I mean, you can see them like going to Diagon Alley and seeing like Lucius and thinking he at least looks like a proper wizard.
Yes.
And not
like,
you know, shambly dusty wizard or something.
Right, yeah. Right. But then even after year two, there's a possibility that that Vernon and Petunia would be like, you know, he only found himself in that situation because of you.
Right.
You know, like almost as if like Tom Riddle's obsession with Harry, something Harry can't control, is something that like is putting their son in danger.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which I suppose like Seamus maybe has a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You know, in year five.
Yeah. You're right.
So that could certainly be a thing that could come about. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know like all the exact levers because you don't know how much each ripple effect will change the whole story.
So much. Yeah. Yeah. It is hard to know what he would endure the first year. Like, you know, if like, I guess, like, would Hagrid still show up? Would they initially be like against it? And Hagrid shows up and he's like, these boys are going to Hogwarts or whatever.
Right.
You know,
right.
Something like that.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, me?
Yeah. That'd be so weird if I thought they're like both wizards.
I can't be a wizard. I'm Dudley.
Yeah.
Just Dudley.
Just Dudley.
Well, just Dudley.
That'd be so funny.
That would be so funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I like it. I mean, I don't know that we've perfectly answered it, but I feel like there's a string to pull on there.
Absolutely. I mean, it'd be very interesting. It feels like it would change so much so fast right from the beginning.
It would. It would. Yes. I mean, and that's where you have to like figure out like do all the main story beats still survive?
Right.
You know, because I mean, that's usually what's interesting is to like try to navigate through the things that you know and love about the story, but changing other areas in ways that are kind of like, oh, now that's interesting.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, now this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's fun. So I guess, yeah, the question for the audience from me today would be sort of like, is it something you'd like us to explore more?
More.
Do we want to see
oh boy.
What if Dudley was a wizard? We might need a cool down period.
I know,
after
Ron and Hufflepuff
yes,
here.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, gosh,
yeah.
I know. We've been writing that one for a while now.
Yeah. Whenever we're in a what if stage of like the writing cycle, it's always sort of this like all-encompassing, all-consuming
sort of
like always on. Where's your mind go? What needs to happen next? So
excuse me.
That's okay. So be sure to let us know. But guys, as per always, thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon. We really couldn't do it without you. And if you've been signing up for the annual patronage and you're waiting for your page, basically at the end of each month, we're looking at like all the new annuals and we're just sending them out at the beginning of each month. So
yes.
The next wave should be headed out any day now as well. So be on the lookout for that. Let us know what page you got. But otherwise, until next time,
bye.